I really need your prayers today. I've got a thought that the Lord gave me this week, and I'd like to be able to do justice to it, but I need the Lord's help real bad. I'd like to turn to John, the first chapter. This is when Jesus was just beginning his ministry. And didn't really have his 12 disciples yet. And he was assembling them. Jesus had the unique ability, being the Son of God, to look out over the multitudes of Israel and see the heart of every person there. Now, he said that he received things from God and all that. I don't know exactly how all that worked and how he was able, what all in his human capacity, if it limited the omniscience and the omnipotence that was in him as God in some form or fashion. I don't understand all of the way that Jesus actually was being here on earth. What if there was anything that withheld from him? But I do know that he saw there were things that he could see that nobody else could see and understand. So I'd like to go to John 1, and we'll start at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Behold, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. So, Nathanael was under a fig tree, probably sitting, getting the good benefit of the shade there. And I don't know what was going through his mind. I don't know what kind of what his weaknesses were or anything like that. But I do know that Jesus knew him. He knew his heart. He knew who he was. And I find it interesting that Philip, he came to him and he said, "We found him of the one that's been prophesied about." In other words, we've found the Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth. And I don't really know what Nathanael had in his mind about Nazareth or people from Nazareth. But he said, can anything good come from Nazareth? It'd be kind of like if I lived here in Junction City and somebody said, we're going to have somebody teach us some things. Somebody's going to come and help us with all of our problems. If you don't understand anything, then he can expound it to you. He's over here from Perryville, and I said, well, has there ever been anything good come out of Perryville? What? Why? This is not real, but if I, you know, any town, I said, well, there are a bunch of hillbillies down there, and not educated, and there's, you know, just a poor place, or it's a uneducated place, or maybe they got a reputation for being whatever. And I don't see the greatest prophet that's ever been coming from a place like that. And so Nathanael had some what we would call prejudices in his mind. He had some things, he had some ideas that were not well founded. And so Jesus, he said, he came to Jesus. Philip said, come and see. And so he did. And Jesus looked at him and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now this was, Jesus did not look at him and say, you're a perfect person. But basically he said, you've got an honest and open heart. That's really all he meant by that. You've got an honest and open heart. And that lets me know that Nathanael, he didn't have some sort of an image built up about himself that was totally inaccurate, something that was self-sufficient and all that. I wonder, and this is just speculation, but I wonder if he had some very deep needs, and maybe he was even under there saying, Lord, I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know. I'm a mess, and I don't know what to do about it. And I can't do anything about it. And I don't know anybody that can help me. Lord, you see who I am. I don't know what to do. And Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And so by that, Nathanael, his eyes were opened, and he realized that standing before him was somebody that knew all about him. Somebody that knew maybe Jesus said something that was a response to some questions that he had been asking God. But anyway, he knew nobody could tell me this. Nobody could have that kind of knowledge about me. And nobody, Philip came with me, this man didn't know I was under a fig tree, or nobody could have told him unless God told him. But he even took it farther. You know, people like Elisha did this too. Elisha told the king the things that the Syrian king said in his bedchamber. There was an interaction here that was deeper than that. And Nathanael was able to realize this isn't just somebody smart. It's not just somebody that has a lot of wisdom. It's not even somebody that maybe God just talked to. But it's somebody that's able to see me just like I am. And if he can see me just like I am, and if he knows me down in the deepest part of my heart, then he's got to be God. He's got to have God in him. And so he responded in the most open way that he possibly could, which is more than what a lot of people do. We were talking this morning in the Sunday school about people that receive light and it makes them responsible, and then they do less with it than they could have. And so then they're not able to get what the Lord has for them. So Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, which that means master. Rabbi means master. He was acknowledging him to be totally superior to him in every way. Rabbi, master, thou art the Son of God. "Thou art the King of Israel." It was like in that moment that he surrendered everything that was in his soul and said, "Here I am, and I'm before you. You're the Son of God. I don't have anything to hide. I don't have anything to keep back. This is who you are." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." What Jesus told Nathanael was not a negative. He said, instead of saying, "Oh, you're a gullible person, you believe things so easily," that's not what Jesus was saying. He said, "I came to you and I showed you, I told you something that let you know who I was, and you accepted it right away. You didn't have any kind of a pretense that was built up, some sort of defense mechanism that would prevent yourself from being exposed." That's what guile is. Guile means deceit. But my thought, and that's what my thought this morning is about, but really we teach about deceiving people and telling lies and things like that, and that's bad. But the thought that I have this morning goes a lot deeper than that. It has to do with being completely open and transparent before the Lord. And that's what Nathanael was. And he said, "Because I said unto thee that I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou?" As if he said, you accepted it right then. You accepted everything. You surrendered. This is who I am. Now we've got something to work with. He said, "Thou shalt see greater things than these." John, read the next verse. "And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." That sounds like kind of a strange thing to say, doesn't it? You're going to see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's leave that for just a moment, and we'll come back to it, Lord willing. You know, Jesus didn't love Nathanael more than he loved anybody else. He didn't give him more of an opportunity, really, than he gave other people. It's just that Nathanael had a heart that was completely open in his, whatever you want to call it, maybe in his sin, in the mess that he was in, all of his failures, all of his prejudices, everything that he had. He came and Jesus looked at him and he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile." That's something that he couldn't say about the scribes and the Pharisees, most of them, except possibly Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, some of them. Nicodemus did the same thing. He said, well, maybe we'll turn there, actually. It's over in John 7. Listen to what the Pharisees said, and some of them that were there, and then Jesus and Nicodemus, what he said. In the 7 and 37 of John, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet." That's the same thing that Nathanael said. See, over in Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy maybe 18, there was a prophecy that Moses gave and said, the Lord's going to raise up a prophet. And he was speaking of the Messiah, but these people they got it a little bit confused. Some of them said, well, this is the prophet Moses was talking about. They still didn't realize that Jesus... So I guess that wasn't what they said. It wasn't quite what Nathanael said. But others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? Well, that's a legitimate point. Because the scripture did say that Christ would come from Bethlehem. So there was a division of the people because of him. Some of them, let's see, I'll skip down a few verses here. 45, Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto him, he that cometh to Jesus by night, being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And here we have some people that were not willing to be completely honest. Jesus couldn't look at them and say the same thing that he said to Nathanael. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. These people, for one thing, there were several prophets that had come out of Galilee. Jonah and Nahum, possibly even Malachi, were from Galilee. But if they had done their research, if they had looked through the records, they would have found that Jesus did indeed come from Bethlehem. But they didn't want to believe that he was the Messiah. You know that many times we have in our minds, we have something we want to be true. We want it to be true with all our hearts. It's human nature. And so we will find, this is the backwards way of going about it, but we will get in our mind something that we want to be true, and then we'll find things that prop that theory up, whatever it is. And we can find all kinds of things to prop it up. But the proper way to do something, to find out what's truth, is to say, I'm going to lay aside my desires of what I want to be true. And I'm going to go to whatever extent I need to go to find what the truth really is. And then I'm going to believe it, no matter how inconvenient or how painful it is, no matter how it incriminates me, no matter how it makes me look in my own eyes, in the eyes of everybody else around me, I'm interested in knowing the truth about things. And that's what Nathanael, I believe, is what he did. Now, I'd like to go to... Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew 16 and 15. So, prior to this... Just ahead in the verses there, Jesus said, who do the people say that I am? And Matthew 16 and about 15. And they said, well, some of them say you're Elijah, and some of them say you're Jeremiah, and then or one of the prophets. And Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? This was not just an ego trip. It wasn't an ego trip. It wasn't something that Jesus wanted them to exalt him right then. That's not what this was about. He said, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we have a teaching in the world that Jesus built his church on Peter because of this verse here. But that's not what this verse means. He meant, Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because you saw enough evidence to know in your heart that I am the Son of God. And because there was no guile in your heart, because you were not going to twist it, turn it, get away from it, run away, whatever, you are willing to say that. It's the confession, the honest confession. See, God never expects us to subscribe to any idea that we're not convinced of in our heart. I cringe when I've heard of this before. Somebody says, you need to accept this. This is truth. You need to accept it. That's not the way the Lord works. The Lord doesn't. You can't accept something that you don't believe. And so the Lord, He wants to reveal to us who He is. He wants to reveal to us how much He loves us. He wants it. That's the way this whole thing works, is a revelation of God to man. That's the rock that Jesus was talking about, that I'm going to reveal to people. It's not, salvation isn't about following a set of rules. It's about meeting a person, Jesus Christ, and realizing and recognizing and accepting and embracing that Jesus Christ is the one that's going to help me in everything. He's going to straighten out the mess that my life may be in. He can help me to know the truth about things. He can guide me. And help me to know when there's a fork in the road, which path to take. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How can they? Because Peter put all of his confidence and his faith and his trust upon the rock that was Jesus Christ. That's the foundation that we have to build on. Now I'd like to go to Genesis 28. And read about Jacob. Jacob was a mess, wasn't he? His name meant deceiver, supplanter. But Jacob came from a line of people that served God. And the Lord had appeared to Isaac. And the Lord had appeared to Abraham. And the Lord wanted to be real to Jacob too. And so in Genesis 10 and 28. I mean 28 and 10, I'm sorry. Jacob was on his way to his uncle Laban's place. Isaac had told him, don't marry one of the girls around here in Canaan. They'll lead you astray. And so Jacob was obedient. And I think he was also running away from his brother, because he had done some very treacherous dealing. And Jacob, so it says he went out from Beersheba, 28 and 10, went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place of sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. Maybe I'll stop there. But you know, this was very similar to what Jesus told Nathanael. You know what Jacob saw and what Jesus told Nathanael? You know what this represents? Angels are what? They're ministering spirits. You could say the angels are the execution or the carrying out of God's will. They're the ones, they're the messengers. They are the couriers. I mentioned in the Sunday school that God reveals himself to mankind. Because if he didn't, there's no way we could ever find him. We couldn't find him anywhere in this universe because he doesn't physically live here. How could we as human beings find a being that's outside of time and outside of space and outside of matter? All of that, totally outside the realms in which we live, unless he revealed himself to us. And so we can see by the creation of the world and by everything he did, the fingerprints of God are all over the place. Yes. And I shudder to think of people that are so deep into science and that see the mathematical precision of astronomy and the regularity with which the body works and all the cells and all that. And then say, and DNA, the code that makes up DNA, and say there's nothing to it. There's nothing behind it. Folks, that's God revealing himself in a way to mankind. Coming and saying, I exist. At least there's something bigger than you. You need to find out what it is. Well, even if we knew that God existed, how could we ever communicate with him? How could we ever talk to him? How could we know what he wants? God gave Jacob this dream. And in essence, he was saying, this is what I offer to you. I offer an open line of communication between me and you and all of your posterity. I want to open up, and it wasn't just for him. It was for all of time and eternity beyond Jacob. All the families of the earth will be blessed. I don't believe that this was something that God took and plopped on him unconditionally. The language here indicates that it was conditional. You walk in this, you walk with me. And this is what I'm going to perform in your life. You can communicate with me. And I believe, I don't know how much of this was meant to be for the future. But the idea is that God is up here. And we're down here. And we don't have any way of communicating with God. But he is going to open up a means of communication between heaven and earth. And how valuable that is. I need my prayers to be answered. I need to be able, when I'm in the deepest distresses, I need to be able to contact God and know that he heard my prayer. I come to many forks in the road in life where I just don't know. And sometimes my wife and I we'll look at each other and we say, I don't know what to do. When those things happen, I know that I've got an avenue of communication that's open between me and the Lord. And I can go to Him and say, Lord, please show me what direction to take. I need to know what to believe. There are so many ways that you can believe. There's ideas and all kinds of logical conclusions that people come to, and you go down. I've been amazed at how completely they fit together. And get pretty deep into some of these ideas, researching them, and you start thinking about it and think, well, that kind of works. That seems reasonable. Folks, I need to know what to believe. I need to have, I can't make it. I can't make it in this life without the Lord guiding me every single day. And so Jesus told Nathanael, He said, you're going to see greater things than these. He said, you're going to see hereafter. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And who is the Son of Man? He is the one that is our intercessor. I need an intercessor. I need someone that can come and plead with God on my behalf. And not that God's not merciful, but this is the way that God set it up. I need somebody to come between me and justice. I need mercy to my soul. I need something to cover my humanity. I need the righteousness that Jesus Christ came to bring. And that's what this is built on, is our belief and our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And knowing that by having Jesus Christ as the foundation of our life, we can have a more open and direct line of communication with heaven than Jacob even had. But I think that some of that vision, Abraham got a vision of what was to be in his future. And it says that all of those people, by faith, you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, by faith, they did all these things because they looked forward to something better, something more of a fulfillment than they got in their lifetime. And so I believe that in this dream, Jacob had a vision of things to come, and he was able to see, oh, this, think of what it's going to be like when the Messiah comes. Well, we have the Messiah. Thank the Lord. And so Jacob, the Lord was able to take Jacob and turn him into a different person. During those years where Laban cheated him and all that, the Lord had him in that place for a specific reason. And then, in the 31st chapter, he said, I've seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. 31 and 13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee from this land, and return to the land of thy kindred. And a few verses back, the Lord had already said to him, return into the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And so he told him, he said, I'm the same God. I'm the God of Bethel. I'm the God that gave you that vision of what I wanted to give you. Now you go back and I'm going to be with you. He went back. He wrestled with that angel and he got a new name. The angel said, what's your name? He said, deceiver. And the angel said, no, not anymore. Now your name is Israel, because you're a prince. And you've had power with God and with man, and you've prevailed. Almost exactly the same language that Jesus spoke to Nathanael. He said, there's an open line of communication between you and heaven. You can have contact with God, but you've got to be transparent and open with God to have that. And so then in Genesis 49, we read a remarkable prophecy of Jacob, where he said talked about the scepter not departing from Judah. And then he said, until Shiloh come, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. Where do you think he got an idea like that? From the communication that he had with God, where he realized, you know what Shiloh means? It means tranquil. Or, I've seen two different definitions. He whose it is, and also tranquil. And what did they call Jesus? The Prince of Peace. And so Jacob had a vision all the way back then of what Jesus Christ was going to come to do. And Jesus, God gave him this vision of the ladder with angels going up and down. Folks, the Lord wants to establish a line of communication with you. He wants to tell you things. He wants to show you His will for your life. I need the Lord to help me because I don't know how to live without Him. I don't know how to make decisions without Him. I don't know how to find the balance of what's right and what I believe and all that. You know, I'd like to read a few verses about guile. And again, this message goes beyond just deceiving others and that kind of thing. That's bad. But we want to make sure that we're honest and open with God. That's my real burden this morning. Psalms 15 and 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. You know, this is one of the reasons why, I'll tell you, this is one of the reasons why we teach against things like, you might laugh at me here, putting on makeup. Because the Lord made us a certain way. And when we make ourselves look all fake and everything, and we make ourselves look a whole lot better than we would be, it's not honest. Just some really basic principles. You know, the Lord wants us to be honest and open with everything that we do. If I have a... And there's a difference between that and concealing things that people have no business knowing. Jesus said, when you fast, don't disfigure your face. Anoint your head with oil and wash your face. Just because you don't need people to know you're fasting. Not trying to deceive people into thinking I never fast. But when I do fast, don't care about people knowing. Because I'm not doing it to please them. I'm doing it to please God. But God said, "Who's going to dwell? Who's going to be in your in thy tabernacle? He that speaketh the truth in his heart." To myself, to God, and to everyone else. Not going to live a fake life. I'm not going to live something that's not that. Try to convince people that I'm somebody that I'm not. People have been doing that for thousands of years. But it keeps us from getting things the Lord wants us to get. I'll just read this one too. 1 Peter 3 and 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Listen to the next verse. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I want so badly, when I pray, I want the Lord to hear me. I want the Lord to respond to my prayers. I want Him to answer them. If I live a life that's full of what we would call guile, maybe I never tell a lie in my whole life to another person. But if I live a life that truth comes my way and I constantly deflect it, or I have an idea of what I want truth to be. And so that skews all the evidence that comes to me, and I make it fit the narrative of who I want myself to be. Do you know that effectively cuts off the ability of God to come and work with my heart? And it cuts off the ability for me to have an open line of communication between me and God. Openness, transparency. That's why Jesus told Nathanael, you're going to see this because you're able to. You're a candidate for it. The Lord would like everyone to have that kind of thing like he promised Nathanael. And so then we have some people in Matthew 13. Jesus was speaking to them a parable. We read some of this in worship last night, but I'm going to read it again. The disciples came and said unto him, to Jesus, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Well, that sounds like God favors some people more than others. But we know that God is no respecter of persons. So we've got to go somewhere else to find a correct interpretation of this. But it's right there in the next verse. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. What did those disciples have that the people that he was speaking to in parables didn't have? No guile. An openness, a frankness, a transparency with the Lord that was willing to accept anything the Lord revealed to them. And the people that heard this parable didn't have that. He said, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. That's why he gave them the interpretation of the parable. He gave them the parable, he gave the multitudes the parable because within themselves, he still gave them an opportunity to think about it. And if they were really honest, they could realize that there was something that they needed to look into. And that's what the Lord, in His great mercy, will do. He doesn't just cut us off, but He gives us opportunities. But if we have some guile, we've got to step over that and get past it before we can really have an open communication between us and the Lord. And it says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. I don't believe, by reading this, these verses really used to puzzle me. And I thought, well, did Jesus have more favor on some than others? This, where it says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. A better way to translate that would have been, this is again true, what Isaiah said. It was true in his time, and it's true now in our time. That's the way that it's really written. Isaiah, when he had the vision from the Lord saying, who will go for us? That's in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And so then the Lord said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. So you would read these verses, and it looks on the surface like God intentionally withheld healing and help for these people. Nathanael needed healing and help too. He was a person that had some real needs in his life. And Peter was too. Peter came and Jesus happened upon him one time and Peter wasn't ready for him and said that after he had been fishing all night and caught nothing and Peter realized what Jesus did and he said, depart from me for I'm a sinful man. He didn't gloss it over. He didn't just kind of, you know, I feel like a lot of people many times do that. We have so many examples of people who are on both sides of this fence. Think of Bartimaeus. If he would have wanted to kind of have this narrative about him and wanted people, the Son of God's coming down the street. You know, some people might have wanted to look as good as possible. And you know what? I would say some people did. Came all decked out with their best clothes and everything and the most pious look on their face and wanted to, you know, I wonder if that's what Simon had in his heart when he invited Jesus to eat with him. Come and eat with me. I'm benevolent. I want you to see how good I am. And so he invited him. I imagine a lot of people did that. Bartimaeus didn't have any kind of pretensions in his heart. He said, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And they tried to shut him up. Be quiet. Don't say that. But it said he cried all the louder. And it said he cast aside his garment. He knew that Jesus had the thing that he needed. And he said, I don't need this garment. Don't need my money cup. Not going to hold on to any of this stuff. I want to see. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, well, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus could have said, well, Lord, I just wanted to meet you. And I wanted you to kind of to see who I am and everything. But he laid all that aside. No guile, no pretensions, no false narrative. Lord, I can't see. I'm blind. You're the Son of God. Just would you please give me my sight? Those kind of people always got the help. They always got the healing. They always got everything that their soul longed for. But the people that came to Jesus with a facade up over their heart. Jesus spoke to them in a way that they couldn't really even understand. He said, lest they be converted and I should heal them. Got to get that out of there first. So may the Lord help us today. I want to be like Nathanael. I want to be able to have an open line of communication between me and God where the Lord, where I don't get to be an old man or get to the end of the way and the Lord say, you know, you missed it. I had lots of things to help you with, but you were too concerned about having a false priest. Who thinks they can fool God? You know, a lot of times I think people kind of do think that. And they live a life that's not completely open, not completely transparent. May the Lord help us today. I'd like to challenge you this morning. Come before God just as you are. Be yourself. Kind of a modern way to express that. Jesus has a lot for us. Pray for me. I want to be faithful.